we can get just a little taste of what Christmas is all about and how we can do it to a T and discover the wonder of it for ourselves. Okay, so you can see that in this Christmas pudding, I have put some extras. Now, this goes back to my own childhood, because when I was a boy, my mum, following on from the custom that was first started by Queen Victoria's husband, Prince Albert, he used to put coins in the Christmas pudding. Now, any of you here ever picked a coin out of a Christmas pudding? Oh, good, I'm glad I'm not alone. My mum would always stuff the Christmas pudding with coins. Sixpences, or tanners, as we called them in those days. And I think the real miracle was, no matter how much pudding either myself or my two brothers had, we always ended up as rich as each other. I think that's only a miracle that a mum knows how to work. And I think all you mums know what I'm talking about, don't you? But I haven't got any coins stuffed into this pudding this morning. As my granddaughter pointed out to me, that would be a choking hazard, Grandad. So I bow to her superior knowledge. But what I have put in here are six envelopes, and they are what I've called gems. And a gem is a treasure. A gem is something that you don't want to miss out on. And I can assure you this morning, if you take part, you want to find a gem. I've just got three simple things that I hope this morning will encourage us to get the true taste of Christmas and be able to do Christmas to a T in a way that perhaps we've never even thought about doing it before. Now, having shared all of that, there is, of course, whenever you eat food or come to near food, I must harness a warning. And of course, the warning is this: not this morning, this pudding may contain nuts, because I promise you it contains no nuts. But then actually, if we don't understand the message of the pudding, I think we must be nuts. All right. So it is that simple, and I hope that you can enjoy it with me. I'm not going to cut it up. What is the big gem I'm talking about this morning? Well, it's very simply this. It's the gem of wonder. Wonder. And you're thinking, I wonder what he's going to say about wonder. Well, did you remember what we had read to us? All who heard what the shepherds had heard from the angels, and they repeated to them once they'd seen the Lord Jesus for themselves in that stable, on that manger, all those years ago, all that heard what the shepherds said were amazed. The word literally means they wondered at it. They were surprised by it. They were taken aback by it. It was the wonder of that moment, the wonder of that birth of the one who is called Wonderful. Jesus, full of wonder. Are you full of wonder at Christmas? Anything some of you are wondering about this morning? When's he going to finish? Look, there's time enough yet. But we mustn't lose the wonder of a season that we can become so familiar with that we miss all that God wants to bless us with in it. Isn't that true? And I thought, how do you illustrate this, Sean? How do you picture this in a way that the youngest to the oldest can understand it? Well, look at that Christmas tree this morning. Can you all see the Christmas tree? Okay, you can see that Christmas tree. Now, let me ask you a question. As you look at that tree, okay, what do you think is the most significant part of that Christmas tree? What is it when you look at that tree you wonder at the most? The star. Isn't it a good star? That's worth wondering at. Is it anybody else? The plug socket. That's pretty good. That's nearly right. Anything else? Lights. Oh, aren't they pretty? There's some bells up there and some baubles up there. And they're all good things to put on the tree, aren't they? But the thing that I wonder at, the thing that is most significant to me about that tree, is not the star, it's not the baubles, it's not the light. It's the stand that it's in. That's an artificial tree, so we put it in a stand. If you're somebody that's got a real living tree, you put it in a pot. But either way, without that stand, without that pot, the only thing we'd be wondering about is, what is that big mess on the floor? Because it wouldn't stand, would it? We literally fall down. That's what I wonder at when I look at the Christmas tree. And yet when it's up in all of its glory with the star and the lights and the baubles, who came in this morning and thought, wow, look at that stand. Hey, look at that stand. I've never seen a stand like that in my life. No. The thing that is most significant about the tree, the thing that we ought to wonder at most about the tree, is the thing that completely gets overlooked. And isn't it a little bit like that at Christmas? Now, there's nothing wrong with lights. There's nothing wrong with tinsel. There's nothing wrong with putting a star on the top of the tree. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. Nothing at all. But isn't it amazing at Christmas that with all the things that we've got to do, you know, the presents to wrap, there's nothing wrong with that. The smell of chestnuts roasting on an open fire, nothing wrong with that. I love chestnuts. All those things that we've got to do, all those things that are there to be seen, all those things that are there to be tasted. Are we sometimes missing the thing that holds it all together? The stand of Christmas, which is Jesus himself. Have we lost the wonder of Jesus? And I tell you, when you lose the wonder of Jesus, do you know what happens when you lose the wonder of Jesus? You begin to wander from what Jesus brings. When you lose the wonder of Jesus, you begin to wander from what Jesus brings and what Jesus wants to give and who Jesus is. And we don't want to lose that, do we? Because in Jesus, the infinite God has become the infant child who on his mother's side, think about it, on his mother, this is something to wonder at. I can't understand it, I can't explain it, but I wonder at it and glory in it. On his mother's side, he could get thirsty, but on his father's side, he could say, I'm the water of life. On his mother's side, he could say, I've got nowhere to lay my head and I've got nowhere to live. I'm homeless. But on my father's side, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. On his mother's side, he can stand by the grave of a friend that's just died and cry his eyes out. But on his father's side, he can say, Lazarus, come forth. And he brings his friend back to life again. Don't you wonder at that? Who wants to wander from the God who wants to bring his life and his hope and his forgiveness to each one of us? Oh, enjoy the tree, but don't forget the sand. Enjoy your Christmas, but don't forget Christ. I think that's a big gem, don't you? You got a taste for Christmas yet? Now, if we've had wonder as a big gem, what do you think the next big gem is going to be? Favor. Favor. Isn't that a great word? Do you have favourites? Hey, who doesn't have favourites? We all have favourites, don't we? There's favourite people that we like. There's favourite sweets that we prefer. I mean, that's why it takes so long at Christmas when the quality street go round and there's so much choice, you know? And how often when it comes round to you and you're looking for your favourite, it's seldom there. Or is that just me? I think sometimes when somebody knows it's your favourite, they deliberately make it their favourite at times. But I'm going to mention no names. But, you know, we have favourite things. We have favourite people. We have favourite books. We have favourite television programmes. You know, we have favourite teams. But the Bible tells us, remember the reading, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom God's favour rests. Isn't that beautiful? You see, God doesn't have favourites. We're all God's favourite. It's on you and me. It's on her and him. It's on them and us that God's favour rests. Isn't it a wonderful thing when somebody favours you and they can give you whatever it is you know that you like, but we've got a God who favours us all. Isn't that beautiful? And some people don't understand that. They haven't tasted that taste of Christmas. They haven't received that truth of Christmas. They feel that they're not loved. They feel that there's no favour upon them. I was reading a book several Christmases ago now that many of you may have read. It's called The Whisper by Mary Ann Bird. Have any of you read The Whisper by Mary Ann Bird? You know, go online, go onto Amazon. It's worth a few pounds to read the story. Mary Ann Bird, boys and girls, was born with a problem with her mouth. Doesn't matter what the problem was, but she had a problem with her mouth. And because she had a problem with her mouth, her teeth were a little bit crooked, her nose was a little bit off centre, and of course, when she went to school, you can imagine how encouraging some of the other children were. Not. And she felt unloved. She felt not special. She felt unappreciated. Until she got into second year of school, and there was a teacher called Mrs. Leonard. And Mrs. Leonard was a special teacher, not just to Mary Ann Bird, but to all the class. And at that time, and the story takes place in America, I don't know if it happens over here, but the children would have a hearing test once a year. Now, I remember having a hearing test at school, but I often had to go out for class and have a nurse that did it for me. But in America at this time, the teacher would give the very simple hearing test. She'd call a pupil up to the front, ask them to go and stand about 10 yards away at the door where none of the other class could hear her, but the teacher could. And the teacher would then whisper a phrase that the child then had to repeat back to them. Okay, you with me? Okay, so the teacher would whisper something like, the sky is blue, or the grass is green, or the car is going quick. And if the child heard what the teacher whispered, the child would repeat it back, and Mrs. Leonard would know that their hearing was okay. Well, it came to that moment where Mary Ann Bird had to come to the front, go to the door, and listen out for what Mrs. Leonard whispered to her. The whole point of the book is that what Mrs. Leonard whispered to her, seven little words that she whispered to her, that Mary Ann Bird said God must have put in her mind to share, because they were words that have completely changed her life from that point to this. And do you know what those seven words were that she heard and whispered back? Mrs. Leonard said in a whisper, so none of the other class could hear it, but Mary Ann Bird could, "I wish you were my little girl." Yeah, it's a touching story. And it's a true story. And I share it today because, you see, this is a massive gem. You need to get a taste for it. That God has more than just whispered to your heart and to your life, "I wish you were my child. I want you in my family. I want you to know my best for your life in all the fullness of it that I've come to be and deliver." It's more than just a whisper. I hope you can hear the God who's come in that little baby who would grow up to die on the cross and rise from the dead. I hope you can hear him shouting it. "I love you. I value you. My favour is upon you." Bruce Forsyth used to say to all those that were rubbish at dancing, "You're my favourite." Because the only thing they had going for them was the fact that Bruce liked them. Well, listen, what we've all got going for us this morning, this is a massive gem. God's favour is upon you. That's why Jesus came. Can you hear it? Can you taste it? Can you believe it? If I put one more vowel at the end of the next word, some of you must know it. It's where we started, it's where we finished, it's what we've just sung. Saviour. I mean, isn't that the big gem? I mean, isn't that the true taste of Christmas? You know, because what is it the shepherds heard? The message was given. We hear it so often. "I bring you good news of great joy today in the town of David. A Saviour has been born to you." And who doesn't need a Saviour at some point in their life? I don't know if it just happens to me. I shared with Kathy that on Friday I went down Shirley High Street doing a little bit of my late moment shopping, because I'm always well prepared. And I found myself in Savers. You know Savers in Shirley High Street? And there was a little girl about 12, 13 in front of me at the queue. And she had this package of false nails and glue that she was wanting to buy. And the lady told her it was £8.50. You know, that's why I bite my nails. Saves me a fortune. But she had this package of nails and glue all there together. And the lady said, it's £8.50. And she took the back off of her phone. And obviously because she believed she had the £10 note in the back of her phone to pay for this package. But sadly, when she took the back off of her phone looking for the £10 note that she was sure was there, it wasn't there. Well, you can imagine a little girl, you know, 12 or 13, immediately burst into tears. Now, God had placed me right behind her. And, you know, when I see that, when I hear that, you know, my heart is stirred. And so when the girl had searched everywhere and come to no conclusion that it was going to be available, I said, look, to the lady, I said, look, I'll pay for that for her. And I paid for it, and I gave her the change too. And you know, when that little girl was going out of the shop, there was a big queue behind at this point, that little girl turned around and she said this in a very loud voice. She said, Mister, she said, you and half saved me from a big telling off. Now, she didn't use the word big. But I thought, that's lovely. It's just the way, Mister, she said, you and half saved me from a big telling off. And there in front of the shop, I said, well, can I tell you about somebody who's done exactly the same thing for me? Now, listen, you know, I need saving, not because I've lost 10 pounds, okay? Not because I've lost my way in the sense of I don't know where I am this morning or I don't know where I'm going with this talk, even if you think I have. I am lost to friendship with God. I am lost to His ways for my life. I'm lost to His purposes for my life. Therefore, I can't fulfill my potential in my life. And Christ has come into this world to save me. To save me from myself. My own desire to do it my way. To save me from my sinfulness. So that I haven't got to pay the price of the stupid decisions that I've made and the wrongful things that I've done. And to save me, not only from something, but He saves me for something. He doesn't simply save me from death, He saves me for life. He doesn't simply save me from despair, He saves me for hope. He doesn't simply save me from the past that's going to ruin me, but He saves me for a future that's going to forever bless me. What a saviour. What a gem. What a taste of Christmas. And if it's true that the proof of the pudding is in the... Can I invite you this morning, whether you're young or old, to do what the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See that tree? Not, it won't happen there, but if you've got a real one, you'll understand this. At Christmas, we take something that is outside a tree, and once a year, we bring it inside. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to say to you now as we close our service. If you understand the wonder and you got the taste of Christ, if you understand the favour of God, and you delight in knowing the taste of that truth, and you want to know the Saviour, then I ask you to take what's outside simply as words, simply as something that you've heard, simply as a message of good news, and bring it to the inside of your life like you do the tree, and trust yourself to Jesus who came for you and for me. I wonder at it because I don't want to wander from it. I thank Him for His grace and favour, but I thank Jesus that Your name means Saviour, and I bow my knee and I bring my life to You who saves me. Amen? Oh, I'm sure that you'll have a lovely Christmas pudding, some of you. And when you eat it this Christmas, do Christmas to a T. And remember, however good that pudding is at the Christmas dinner table, it's nothing to the taste that Jesus can bring to your life and the difference that He can make. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for one another. Thank You that there's not one person here that You love less than any other person. There's not one person here that is not your favourite at the expense of somebody else. Lord, you love us all. You gave yourself for us all. And all that you want to bring to us is ours to receive if we'll just open up our hearts and let you in. So Jesus, forgive us for what we've done. Bring your life to who we are and lead us on to enjoy it, knowing that every wrong thing's forgiven and knowing that the life that you bring is forever. We pray for it and we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. And if we don't see you again this side of Christmas, have a happy Christmas, and may you enjoy the taste of it as God intended you to.